For this third week of Advent, we hear these words from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, then the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighings shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading from James chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the earthly and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I have to appreciate God either throwing me a bone or having a sense of humor. I love that in our Isaiah reading today, it talks about a desert springing up and rejoicing with water and new life. This is a nice humorous day, a day on the time where we dealt with our very first large flood in our basement this last week. So as I look at that beautiful picture of dry sand, that sure looks wonderful right now. Not half bad. But of course, actually, if you're in the middle of a dry and desert wasteland, having an oasis to look forward to, something great in front of you that provides peace, rest, and life-giving water, that would sure be a nice and pleasant sight. Makes me thankful again for water, and remember that I come from a land with too little rain, so it's okay. We'll take the good with the bad with all this wonderful moisture that will still be coming to us this next week. I'll be praying for your homes as well as ours. So today we will continue looking at our Isaiah reading. We've been following Isaiah this Advent, and we're into Isaiah chapter 35. If you'd like to turn there in your bulletins or in your Bibles, you're welcome to do so. We have this image of this dry wilderness, this place that is barren and devoid of life, of sustenance, just hot and sandy. No one likes to feel like a maraca when you're walking around in the sand, shaking and feeling that sand all through your clothes. And then we are given this different view of what is offered in the midst of this dry wasteland. The dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. It's hard to put ourselves into a warm and dry desert climate again, as it is wet and gray outside. But this is the wilderness that surrounds where God's people were when this was offered. And during this season of Advent, we understand that that wilderness is not just a physical location, but a reality that we all live in, that all humanity lives in. Isaiah makes that jump as he says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. He will come to save you." That is a wonderful thing. In this land that can at different times feel very dry and like we're in the wilderness, it can feel like we don't have peace, we don't have comfort, we don't have that which we need. Not just even in a nature of sinfulness, but even right now, I feel like we should change an old saying, beware the Ides of December, beware the middle of December, you know? I love that we are in the middle of our Advent season. We're in the middle of December. If you've been following the candles here on our Advent wreath, we do get the pink one this week, the joy candle, the little bit of Latin I know, Gaudete Sunday or Joy Sunday. The season of Advent previously was really more of a penitential and somber season. And it was nice in the middle of it to say, you know what, though, Christmas is coming. Have a little bit of joy. I also feel like it's really helpful to us in a very busy December. I'm sure many of you have all sorts of things going on. You might have your own parties at work or with family. You have different activities. You have to prepare wonderful, delicious cookies for the cookie walk. You guys have all sorts of things on your plate. I know that because we do too. December is a full season. It's wonderful. It's great getting ready for Christmas. I love seeing the lights and the decorations. There's a particular house here on 212 on the way in or out at night where it's all lit up super bright. And we always look forward to it. It's very easy to see it coming. During this season, there's a lot to be thankful for and excited about, but it can also get wearisome sometimes, tiring. And that's without flooded basements. It's nice in the middle of it to have this joy Sunday to remember, you know what? No matter when it might feel like, you are in the wilderness, no matter when it might feel like you are tired or exhausted, or perhaps you're feeling weighed down by sadness, maybe the loss of death, maybe the guilt of your own sinfulness, whatever it might be. There are different seasons and different times where the wilderness comes to us, and it comes in different ways. And we can feel like we are trudging through the sand. It can feel like we are weighed down, unable to leap for joy. And yet we have this wonderful gift of God's good news. Be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come. For John the Baptist in our gospel reading, he is imprisoned at this point and he's wondering, you know, I've told everybody, Jesus, here's the one whose sandals I'm not fit to tie. He's coming to do all the things that were promised of old. He is coming to be the king that we want. Well, is it going to happen? I'm in prison and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. So, Jesus, are you the one that was to come, or should we be looking for another? Because I sure thought it was you. I'm pretty certain of it, in fact. Should we be looking for another? I don't know. And Jesus reminds John of Isaiah, reminds John of who this promised Messiah would be and what he would do. He points back to what we read in Isaiah chapter 35 today. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. All of this is happening. Jesus says, go and tell John what you've seen. Go and tell him, I have been helping the blind see. Those who are deaf can now hear. Those who could not move can leap for joy, and those who could not speak can sing for joy. Jesus was showing through his actions, which speak louder than words, just who he was and just what was happening. The Savior of the world had come. He is the one that we need to bring us springs of water in the wilderness. And then we get to the whole point, the whole thing that I actually really want to focus on mostly today. In verse 8, as we consider what this wilderness is, we've pictured it as being a dry desert wasteland. We want springs of water. Jesus says, I've come to bring them. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. In the middle of a desert, when you can't find shelter, when you can't find rest, when you can't find the stuff you need to live, there will be a highway there, a path. And that path is called the Way of Holiness. It's amazing how these prophecies of the Old Testament show forth in so many amazing ways in the future. This is true not just of Jesus as he's making a pathway for all those who want to come to the Father in truth and in spirit. It's true for especially the early Christian church. You may not know that we who call ourselves Christians, we've adopted a derogatory term. People did not like the followers of Jesus. And it's like, oh, you Christians, you people who think Jesus is the Christ. Oh, you know what? You're right. That is who we are. We'll take that name. Thank you. How kind of you to call us that. The early church was not called Christians. They were called followers of the way. See, Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is what we all continue to follow. We are a part of the way, followers of that one who is the highway in the wilderness, the one who is the way of holiness. When we're in Jesus, we're not just wandering through the desert of life. We're not devoid of the things that we need to truly live. We are with the way. We are on the way. He continues to provide for us all that we need. I told you we've been following in Isaiah, right? We've been following since we were told that in Isaiah, at the beginning of Isaiah in chapter 9, we are going up on towards Mount Zion. We are being drawn up there towards God. We are on the way to our eternal rest. We are on the way to that perfect and wonderful peace, that oasis that awaits us where there is no more pain or suffering. We are no longer in the wilderness, but we are at home with our God. And we're told here that for those who are on the way, we have life with us. Unlike the photo that we have behind us, the way is not just a trudge through the sand where it's like, well, someday I'll get there. Someday I'll have peace and sustenance. Someday I'll have rest. On the way, the whole of the path is an oasis. We continue to walk in Christ. As we walk in Christ, as we walk on the way towards where we're going, Jesus is with us and he provides the comfort, the peace, the physical, emotional, spiritual substance that we need. Of course, along the way, the wilderness is still around us. It's still blowing hot sand at us. We still feel, at different times, the effects of being in this wilderness. The effects of living in a once beautiful creation, still beautiful, but now marred by sin. We still experience the pain that comes from it. We still are not fully there. We are on the way of holiness. We are looking forward to our end goal, Zion, God's holy mountain. But as this wilderness beats at us, we know it won't defeat us because God sustains us even now. Our God is with you. Jesus Christ is God with us. And you should know that this is for each and every one of you. Each and every one of us who is on the way, God will provide for. I know this is true because it even includes me there in verse 8. I love it. The last half of verse 8 is just for me. Maybe some of you too. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Oh. Look at that. It covers all of us. Even if we should be foolish, even if we should not be fully understanding of everything that God has to give us, even if we are prone to wander as fools might, God will continue to keep us. He'll continue to guide and lead us. Our good shepherd leads us through the wilderness to green pastures, to quiet waters. He restores our soul. And along the way, we get to enjoy Jesus the whole time through. Jesus did not just come once and die for us and pay for our sins and rise from the grave and give us new life and say, okay, I'll see you in heaven someday. He sent his Holy Spirit to continue to guide and comfort us. He comes to us through the Spirit in his word and in his sacraments. In baptism, we're told we're baptized into his death. We rise with his new life. In communion, we receive his very body and blood. In confession and absolution, you heard from me as if from Christ that your sins are forgiven. Not because I have any power or authority myself, but because his church on earth has said the pastor gets to tell all of us that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. When you're here in worship, when you're there in God's word, you are continually fed by the way as you are on the way, this highway of holiness. And again, with this connection back to earlier in Isaiah, in verse 10, the ransomed of the Lord, again, that's you and me, shall return and come to Zion with singing. everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We're in the middle of this prophecy, and we look forward to the completion of it. This is coming. The wilderness will be swept away. We who have followed the way will be there with everlasting joy. No longer tired or exhausted from the trials of this life, both the things that come at us and the things we add to our own plate, but fully restored, fully dancing and singing for joy. What a wonderful thing the church gets to do. We, the followers of the way, reminding people that this wilderness is not all that there is. There is not just a wilderness out there, but we can help people see that there is a way filled with peace and life. That's why right before this reading, we got to sing, "How Beautiful on the Mountaintop." How beautiful on the mountaintop are the feet of those who bring your word, God. We are the lame ones who get to use our feet now to go walk and share God's word. How beautiful on the city street are the lips of those who speak your peace. We are the ones who were mute and could not speak any real peace or joy into people's lives. Without Jesus, any type of joy or peace or comfort, really, it's empty. We might find joy and peace in different things, but there is only one way to find it, through Jesus Christ. How wonderful to know that as Jesus says these things, the blind can see, the ears can hear, the lame can leap like a deer, and the tongue can sing for joy. He's talking about you and me, not just those who are physically afflicted, but those who are spiritually afflicted. That's why later on, when Jesus heals all sorts of people, especially my favorite is a blind man, and then other people said, "Well, you know, how could you possibly do this?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, I could heal your blindness too. We're not blind. We can see just fine." Oh, I promise you are. Don't worry. That's my translation, again, of God's word. But it's true of each and every one of us that we are born blind, deaf, mute, and lame. We are born that way because of our sinfulness. And yet because Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life has come for us, we are those captives who are freed. We are freed from the bondage of sin. We are freed from the effects of that sin on our life. And as we walk on the way, we are continually healed by God's word, by our God who loves us, as we walk that way of holiness, looking forward to the day when he would come again, when he would bring all of us out of the wilderness and bring us safely to our eternal home. Until then, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again.
Hallelujah.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.